Okay, so we have just a little bit left on Shinui Mako. There's a lot left, but we're not going to go into it. There's just one thing that we will mention that we did leave over, which is last time we talked about the position of Rav Chisda, that if you have something that is ta'un bracha acharav b'makomo, then shinui makom ein tzarich levarich, that Ashkenazim paskin like Rav Chisda. But we didn't do is say, what is davar sh'ta'un bracha acharav b'makomo? So here we have more or less three approaches in the Rishonim. Rashbam says this is all shivas aminim. There's also the view of the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. Tosfos, first he says dafka pas, then he seems to conclude his main shita is al mine dagan. So it would be mizonos, but not grapes, not wine. And the Rif holds its that same position, dafka pas or dagan, so it would be bread or mizonos, but not again grapes or wine. The Rashba, quoted in Darkei Moshe Beis, says no, dafka pas, not anything else, nothing besides pas. This is also the view of Dagos Maimonios. So there's three shittos, and the Shulchan Aruch cites all three shittos and isn't machria. He's not machria. So actually, Paskin, so the Magen Avraham writes, L'chatchila, you should be machmir for the view of the Rashbam, meaning to say that ideally you should make sure to make your bracha achrona in the place where you eat, if you're going to have anything that requires a a main shalosh, anything that requires a main shalosh, that's what you should l'chatchila do. Lashon Shulchan Aruch, by the way, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, is Yesh Omrim Sheshivas Aminim Teunim Bracha. This is Sif Hei. So that's first view is the Rambam. Teunim Bracha L'chamei Mekomon. V'Yesh Omrim D'Dafka Mine Dagan. It's the view of Tosfos. The Gra, by the way, says that's the Iker opinion, that the view of Tosfos, Pas and Mine Dagan. And then Ramah quotes the third view, Haga, V'yesh omrim dafka pas levad. So the Gra says the middle view is the correct view. The Magen Avraham writes that l'chatchila you should be machmir for Rashbam. So a person should, if they're having a grapes, they should ideally make sure not to leave without saying a bracha achrona. Regardless, it's a good idea. And if they did, they should come back if possible. That's the view of the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah cites that as well. The Mishnah Berurah also cites the view of the Gra as well. Okay, so just because l'chatchila we're machmir for the view of the Rashbam, that doesn't mean, what about in the case where it's a kula, namely shinui makom? In other words, just because we're makil that, or we're machmir that you should come, if you have grapes, that you should come back to your place. Well, let's say you did come back. Now, could you continue eating grapes? Do we say that we're only machmir like Rashbam b'taras chumra, but we're not going to be makil like Rashbam, and therefore, since according to Tosfos, if you wanted to have more grapes, you would need to make a new bari pri ha'etz, and we don't paskin like Rashbam mikra din. Sorry. So therefore, in that case, you would for sure have to make a new bracha rishona, or would we say no? Safik bracha zaka. How could you make a new bracha? According to Rashbam, you wouldn't need to make a new bracha. Safik bracha zaka. It could be l'chatchila. There's not that much of a nafkamina, because we mentioned already, the Ramah writes, we paskin that l'chatchila you shouldn't do a shinui makom anyway. Better, if you do have to run out, even if it's tam bracha achrav makomo, to make a bracha achrona before you leave, lest you forget to return. But that's not always true. For example, for a dvar mitzvah, we're makil Or many poskim hold, if you're just stepping outside for one moment, you're going to come right back outside, or makel. So the poskim say lamaisa, therefore, if you're dealing with something which is a suffix, whether it's taun drach acharav b'makomo, like grapes, so it's better not to leave in that case without making a bracha achrona, as opposed to leave and then coming back to continue eating, because then you're left with a suffix, right? In other words, if I step outside, I'm eating grapes, or I'm drinking wine, and I step outside for a moment, and now I come back, so now I have a suffix. Do I make a new bracha or not? According to Rashbam, I wouldn't make a new bracha. According to Tosfos, I would make a new bracha. So what do I do? So because this is a suffix, the best thing to do is make sure not to leave your place. If you're eating grapes, don't leave your house. Even if you're just stepping outside for one moment, rather make a bracha chona before you leave. And the post can point out over here, you can take a look at the Dershu note 34, that even though you might say, well, that's going to be riboy bracha shalol letzorach, right? Because now I'm going to have to make an extra main shalosh, an extra bracha rishona when I come back. In achanami, we're makel on riboy bracha shalol letzorach to avoid a safek bracha shaila. And since this is really a safek, because the pashtus is the ikar halacha is not like the Rashbam, like we saw from the Gra, we're not going to rely on the Rashbam. Now, you could argue, but I don't think we would say this, you could argue that even if the Rashbam was wrong, in other words, grapes were not davar shetom bracha acharav b'makomo, right? Aliba diemes. But you, because the Mishnah Brura, because the Magen Avraham said you should follow the Rashbam, you are machmir always to make the bracha acharav b'makomo, then memela wouldn't be a shinui makom, because you have to come back. Now, what's the whole logic of shinui makom, tzarech levarich, that your leaving indicates that this is hasachadas, you're done, you're finished, right? And the idea is that if you have to come back, this is at least what Rav Chista holds, if you have to come back, so why do you have to come back? It's because the fact that you have to come back shows that you didn't finish your meal, right? The fact that you have to come back, and what forces you to come back? So if it's the halacha forcing you to come back, because of what? Because it's taun bracha achar makomo, then it's not as a hadas. Likewise, if you're forced to come back, even for non-halachic reasons, like you left some friends there. So we paskin, we meaning Ashkenazim, you could also go back, right? You leave some friends there, even if you're not eating davar shetan bracha acharav b'makomo, though the Beis Yosef didn't like this, this is the Pesach of the Ramah, you also, it's not a shinui makom, so yinichu sham nechus chaverim. Anything that forces you to come back. And likewise, if we saw the Mishnah Berurah paskin, even if Kiddush b'makom suda forces you to come back, for example, you made Kiddush, and you stepped outside, now you come back in. Since you have to come back in to be Makam Kiddush Makom Suda, the Mishnah Berurah quoted a Svara, that you'd also wouldn't be a Shinui Makom, because you were forced to come back to make sure that your Kiddush isn't a Bracha Levatala, because it would be if it was Shalom Makom Suda. So maybe you could make the following argument, that even once you, we paskin that you should be machmir for the view of the Rashbam and come back for grapes. So memela, when you leave, there's no hesach hadas. And that's true even if, like I said, aliba diemes, Tosfos is right. So I don't know, I thought that was an okay svara. I didn't see anyone who said that. So that's something that needs more ion. But I think it's an interesting idea. Seems like it's mistaber. So old Chazon L'Moed, we have to see if anyone says that. Okay, there's a lot of discussion here more on Shinui Makom, but I think we'll leave it now, and go back. I just want to talk about actually one other interesting Shaila that comes up, a common Shaila, which is, let's say I'm having coffee and cake for breakfast. Okay, not so healthy, probably a bad idea, but I'm doing it. So now, and I step outside for a moment, and then I come back. So clearly, I could continue eating my cake. Again, assuming you're Ashkenazi, we pass on the Groch Chista. Could I continue to drink my coffee? Now, this is a very similar type of question to the one that we just asked. What do I mean to say? Because the coffee is davar shein tom bracha achar mekomo, but maybe we'll say that the mizonos is drawing me, is forcing me to come back. So therefore, my leaving is also not as hadas with respect to the coffee. And therefore, when I come back, I could continue to drink my coffee along with my cake. So this is Machlok Saposkim, quoted in Dirshu note 22. Rav Eliashiv says that you do have to make a new bracha achrona when you return. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg says you don't. In other words, the kfiyas makom for the mizonos works for the coffee as well. Maybe, I don't know, because they don't really say the svaros, but maybe this is the similar type of question to what I was just discussing. In other words, do we say that being forced to return, in this case for some other factor, namely your cake, is enough to say that there's no shinui makom on the coffee? So it could be that's another nafkamina to the question that we just asked. There is an interesting discussion that we're not going to get into it, whether mincha in the middle of davening is a hafsek, comes up in Tosfos, the quotes of Svar Reb Yosei, Reb Yantif, how you read the Gemara. But we won't talk about that. We paskin that it isn't. There's a discussion over here about naps in the middle of the Suda and Siv Zion, the Sheet of the Ravid and the Rush. Okay, let's just mention one other small sugya that comes up over here, and then we'll go on. We'll only get into this briefly, but that's a sugya Vatova Metif. Rashbam, Tosfos both discuss this on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The idea that if a new wine is brought in the middle of the meal, you have to make a tova meitiv. The Gemara Bracho says, "Afal pisha amru, shinui mako, shinui yayin, ein sarech levarech." So, "Afal amru baruch tova meitiv." You don't need to make a new berak pir gafen on shinui yayin, but you do need to make a berakas tova meitiv. Now, the Gemara clarifies over there, and Tosus mentions that over here as well. This is, of course, de'ikah b'nei chabura de'shasu ba'dei, that you're not drinking alone. Bad idea to drink alone. You're drinking with the chevra. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, Simin Kufayin Hei, Sif Dalad, Ein Levarech Hatov HaMeitiv, Alim Kein, Yesh Acher Imo. And this is actually the mashma also the bracha, the Shulchan Aruch explains. Dachi mashma, Hatov lo, v'hameitiv l'chavero. Uadin, im ishto vanavimo, aval, imu yechidi lo. Now the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sif Katan Tes Vav, clarifies, and this is not clear from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch just says you have to have others with you, but the Mishnah Berurah says that means you have others drinking with you. If others are drinking with you with both wines, then it's okay. Your whole family is enjoying the wines. And Mishnah Berurah even adds that if it's guests and you're just giving them, that's not enough. They have to be drinking with you. So you could be makna to them. Mishnah Berurah says it's enough that you just put it on the table before them and everybody could enjoy. So, but according to Mishnah Berurah, you only make a tova meitiv if both you and whoever you're drinking with are drinking from both of the wines. So when you're drinking both wines, they're drinking both wines, then you can make the bracha batova meitiv. So we showed him over here, asked the question, why did they make the bracha batova meitiv dafka on wine, not other foods or drinks, right? If you have scotch and 18-year-old scotch, and then they bring out a 25-year-old scotch, oh, no hatova meitiv. You start off with some steak, and then they bring out lamb chops. No atove meitev, why not? So there are four answers I saw in the Rishonim to this question, all of them quite interesting. The first one I'll mention is Tosnar Sugya, which actually is in Yana Dioma. Toso says it's because Shazivlu Karmeyam Demayan Shel Yisrael. It's a Gemara in Gittin. Nun Zayin Vod Aleph, we can read it on Tisha B'Av. Tana Sheva Shanim Batru Ovde Kochavim Es Karmeyam Midaman Shel Yisrael Below Zevel. It's talking about after the tragic story of Beitar. In the story of Beitar, the Jewish people rebelled against the Romans. This is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the famous Bar Kokhba rebellion. They were initially very, very successful, but eventually it was crushed by the Romans in a gruesome way. And there was so much Jewish blood spilled, the Gemara there says, that they fertilized the fields for 7 years without needing fertilizer because the blood fertilized it. So that's why we'd have to do it on wine. Well, what does that have to do with wine? I assume because it says that it was the Karmehem, it was the orchards, or it could also be because of the connection between blood and wine. We know that blood and wine are similar to each other. They're both red. We think of wine and we think of blood. So therefore, that's the association, and therefore, dafka wine. Now, what's interesting about this Tosfos, by the way, is that we all know that the bracha of Atova Meitev in Birkas HaMazon, the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which in many ways isn't even the fourth of Birkas HaMazon, but almost an independent bracha that we say after Birkas HaMazon. But anyway, the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon was instituted after the miracle following the story of Beitar. How so? So what happened was that after the Jewish people were defeated in Beitar, there were mounds and mounds of Jewish corpses, and the Romans didn't allow them to be buried. And eventually they did. And moreover, there was a nace, and the bodies had not decomposed. And so we make the bracha of Hatov HaMeitev, Hatov, that we are allowed to bury, Shenita L'Kvura, and HaMeitev, that they didn't decompose. It's quite interesting, actually, quite remarkable to think about that. You know, all the other brachos of Birkas HaMazon are made on purely joyous occasions, like the Man, Knisa L'Aretz, Yerushalayim, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, for the first three brachos. Here, it was really a tragedy, but because they saw the goodness in this tragedy, so they instituted the bracha of Hatov HaMeitev. So the Gemara Brachos Memches Amud Beis says, Oso Ayom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar L'Kvura Tiknu B'Yavne Hatov HaMeitev Hatov Shelo Esrichu V'HaMeitev Shenitan L'Kvura. It's actually the opposite of what I said before. So excuse me. So there's an interesting question. Is there a connection between all the other Hatova Meitivs, like this Hatova Meitiv on additional wine, and that Hatova Meitiv in Birkas HaMazon, which was associated with the story of Beitar? So what emerges from our Tosfos is, yeah, actually that is the case. This too is associated with the story of Beitar. So that's reason number one. Why dafka on wine, according to Tosfos? It's because of the story of Beitar. Tosfos and Brachos, Nun Tesamid Beis, Dibur Masal Tova Meitig is another reason. He says it's because Yayin is Sa'id Umisameach. In other words, there's something very special about wine. It does two things. Some foods, like bread, are Sa'id. They fill you up. But wine is both Sa'id and Misameach. So therefore, you make a special bracha when you get new wine. When you get new wine. Number three is Rabbeinu Bachya. It's in Karakemach on this bracha, on the Tova Meitiv, and it's cited by the Mishnah Bura. Relates to what Gabe was talking about before Shir. He says, why do we make a Tova Meitiv? That you make it on wine because ki yadua she'adam tzarich lemait b'ta'anugei ha'olam. Right, you're getting, there's a fear over here, you're going to get carried away with your wine. After all, you didn't just drink one cup of wine, now you're starting to drink multiple cups of wine. And you get carried away. So you're going to say a Tova Meitiv. You're going to remember the story of Beitar. You're going to think about the fact that you won't be alive forever. And therefore, you're not going to drink too much wine. That's reason number three. And reason number four, the Rosh says in Brachos Parak Tes, Simen Tes Vav, is Ein Omrim Shira Al Yayin. A Tova Meitiv is a type of Shira. Shira you make on Yayin. And therefore, it's Gemara Brachos, beginning of Kesem Varchim. And therefore, we make Katova Meitiv on wine. So here are four reasons why we make Katova Meitiv on wine, when you have another cup of wine. Now, the big question that the Rishonim deal with over here and in Brachos is, when do you make Katova Meitiv? Anytime you have a second type of wine? Or are there certain conditions that must be met? So this is debated, according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba. Even if the second cup of wine is worse than the first cup of wine, you started off drinking your best cup of wine. You always start off with a good wine, and then you finish the first bottle, which was good. Now you're moving on to the second bottle, which isn't as good. You still make a Tova Meitiv. But Rashi and Brachos, Rashbam over here, say no. It's only if the second bottle is better than the first bottle. That's the idea of a Tova Meitiv. It's even better. Things are getting better. Tosfos is bothered because the Yerushalmi Brachos Perek Vav Halacha Ches says like this: Rebbe, al kol chavis v'chavis haya poseach haya mevarech alah. They bring another barrel, another barrel, another barrel. Each time he made a new bracha. Umay Omer Rebbe Yitzchak Roba b'shem Rebbe Baruch Atova Meitiv. So what do you see? It sounds like any new bottle of wine. Are we going to say that Tzdafka, each one got better and better and better? Therefore, Tosa says, either you have to like Rabbeinu Tam, or even if you don't like Rabbeinu Tam, if maybe it's a misup, you're misupik if it's better or worse than the second one. A lot of times you don't know whether this second bottle is any better or any worse. People always wonder, is this going to be a good bottle of wine or not? Especially, you can't really predict a lot of times. Sometimes the cheap bottles are better than the expensive bottles. Sometimes the expensive bottles are better than the cheap bottles. So the middle view is, if you don't know, then you can make it. You don't say something Brachos L'Hakel. It was really niskan on something new, something different. It's just that if it's worse, you don't make the bracha.
What's better and worse here?
It's a good question. So how do you define better or worse? Do you go by the wine critics? Or I would assume that it means what you enjoy. Better or worse for you. Even if the wine critics, I like the blue bubbly wine. That's my favorite wine. So it's because I like sweet wine. So, my parents always joke around that any wine that I like, they know is lousy. Because if I like it, it must be bad wine. Because I don't have a sense of taste for wine. I don't like dry wines. So for me, it would definitely be an improvement if I started off with Chardonnay, and they went to the blue bubbly stuff, even if you could barely call that wine. There's a shiloh about white wine being healthier. Anyway, I'll leave that aside. So for me, that would be an improvement. For them, that's for sure a downgrade. So I would assume that I'm allowed to make Katova Meitiv, then they wouldn't. They wouldn't. There are other views, by the way, in Rishonim besides these three major ones, but we'll leave them out aside for now. So how do we paskin? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Ayin Hei, Siv Beis, Mevarchim HaTov HaMeitiv, Al Kol Shino Yayin Min HaStam. Afilu Eini Yodea, Shasheni Meshubach Meharishon, Kol Sheni Yodea, Shugaru Amimenu. Minastam, you make it as long as you don't know it's worse. In other words, we don't go, we follow the middle view. We don't take Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, even if you know it's worse, as long as it's not like so bad that, you know, you're only drinking it machmas adochak. And we don't follow Rashbam's view either, that it has to for sure be better. Rather, as long as you don't know. The truth is, by the way, this might also be Rashbam as well. There's a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Tor, how to read Rashbam. The Beis Yosef thinks that if you're misupak, if it's better or worse, l'kulei alma, you make the bracha. They only debate when it's for sure worse. But the Tor understood that Rashbam thinks dafka, if you know for sure it's better. So this might be, according to Beis Yosef anyway, l'kulei alma. So that's the halacha. The halacha is that unless you know for sure it's worse, then you could make hatov the hametiv. Now, practically speaking, it's oftentimes that you still won't make hatov hametiv for a number of reasons. First and foremost, because you're supposed to make your bari priya gafen on the best wine. And the Shulchan Aruch states this explicitly in Sif Gimel. Heviu lo yayin ra, yayin tov, keachad, yivarech miyad bari priya gafen al hatov hu poter es hara. There's halacha on dinei brachos that the one that you make the bracha on is the one that you like better, the one that's better. Chaviv. So you can't say you're bari priya gafen on the lousy wine, so that way you could bring out the better wine in order to say tov hametiv. That's inappropriate. So really, the wine you pick to start with should be the wine that's the best. In which case, assuming that there's a hierarchy in wines, there's the best, there's the second best. So then, practically speaking, you're not going to ever make a tova meitiv, unless somebody shows up with wine during the meal that you didn't have originally. That's a different story. Or maybe you didn't expect to have, you weren't planning to open up a new bottle of wine, but then you had so much fun with the first bottle, so then you could make katova meitiv.
What are the best for your, meaning the best for your kids, let's say, is grape juice. So you made kiddush on grape juice because...
Nah, why should you make kiddush on grape juice for your kids? Make kiddush on wine and give your kids grape juice to drink. That's a lousy reason, especially because there are other advantages to making kiddush on wine, and certainly a bari priya gafen on wine. All right. So that's what I do. I make kiddush on wine and I give my kids grape juice to drink. Uh-huh. Or they could take grape juice first and hold it while I make kiddush. Right. But that's not a very good reason. Mm-hmm. But it does come up. Either it comes up, you would make it because you're misupik, right? You have two bottles of wine. You don't know which is better, which is worse. So you make kiddush on bottle A, and then when you bring bottle B to the table, you make hatov hametiv. The Mishnah Berurah says, in that case, by the way, you should make sure to take the other bottle off the table. It's a shaila whether if the second bottle's on the table, when you make the bracha on the first one, whether you make hatov hametiv. So in that case, let's say you're planning to have two bottles of wine, and you have two bottles of wine, and what you should do is take the other one that you're not drinking off the table when you make kiddush. And then when you bring the second bottle of wine back to the table, so then you could make hatov hametiv. So one is when you're misupik, which is, again, pretty common. A lot of times it's not clear which wine is better. Or alternatively, and this is also very common, where it's not that you're misupik, you just want different things at different times. In other words, sometimes I like sweet wine and sometimes I like dry wine. And it's not a question of better or worse. For kiddush, I like to make it on sweet wine because I like to start off with something sweet. And because since I'm going to have to drink Mali Lugmav, so I like to sip my dry wine, but for kiddush, I prefer sweet wine. So that's okay. And then when I bring to the table later on the dry wine, again, assuming I don't see that, assuming that there it's a little different. It's not a suffing, but I think also it would make sense to make a tova meitiv there, where each one has its own mila, right? There's a mila to sweet wine, there's a mila to dry wine. I like both. But there's no hierarchy. It's not clearly one is better or one is worse. I like sweet wine sometimes, like at the beginning of the meal, and I like dry wine in the middle of the meal. So in that case, I think it would be appropriate Tamei Kato v'Hameitiv. There are a number of Achronim who have various restrictions and limitations on Hatov v'Hameitiv. The Buchacher, for example, says that it's only if everybody drank a revius from both, certainly the first one. And according to other Achronim, this is based off of Lechem Chamudos. It's if you have the second bottle in your house, and maybe not in a marteif, but in your home, then you don't do it. There are a number of other poskim who put tremendous limitations. And some poskim say that, look, anytime there's a suffik, you shouldn't say it. Suffik brachos lahakel. The Mishnah Berurah does invoke that at least one time, I think in Sifkat and Dalet, about one of these shilas. So that being the case, then if you're choshish for all the shitos, not just the ones mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, but other shitos. So then you'll never ever make a bari hatov v'hameitiv. And in fact, there are some poskim. The Kaf HaChaim says this. The Minchas Yitzchak says this. They say, yeah, you know, you're never ever going to make hatov v'hameitiv because it's Minchas Yitzchak, Chelak Tesin and Yodalid. And the Kaf HaChaim over here, Sifkat and Yodalef. They say, you know, since that there's so many machloksin and so many complicated dinim, nobody's ever going to do this. And that's why nobody ever says hatov v'hameitiv ever. Other poskim aren't like that. If you have an opportunity to say the bracha, you can. And just because, you know, there's one opinion that says you don't make a bracha in this case doesn't mean it's a safik brachos and you should be make a. If according to the mainstream poskim, you're able to make the bracha, then you could still make the bracha. There's an interesting question whether it's reshus or chova, which might actually also be a little bit of a factor. Magen Avraham starts off by noting that it is a chova. As opposed to, by the way, shachiyanu. Shachiyanu bepashtas, now is not time to get into it, is reshus, as we say in Simon Reish, chaf gimel, sif katan gimel. And therefore, maybe the stakes are a little bit lower. But the Magen Avraham implies, and this is the Achronim Ramadaik, this in the Magen Avraham, that it's a chova. As we said, others, those who never say it, perhaps assume that it's a reshus. Okay. The next sugya we're going to talk about, last one for today, is the mitzvah, the sugya of ein osin mitzvos, chavilos, chavilos, which comes up in the Gemara on daf, kof beis, amad beis, imsachim. The Gemara says like this. Let's say a person has to make Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon, or Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon. And in those days, we'll talk about this a little bit later, they used to make Birkas HaMazon al HaKos. So you have to make two brachos al HaKos. So could you combine them? So the Gemara says, no, you shouldn't. You should use two separate kosos. Make one bracha on Birkas, one kos for Birkas HaMazon, one kos for Kiddush and Havdalah. Why? So the Gemara says, because ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos, ein omim shtei kedushos al kos echad. The Rashbam says those are the same halachos. This might be machlokas. So ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. And what's wrong with mitzvos chavilos chavilos? So Rashbam says, and this is also the view of Rashi, Shanira kami shahayu alav lamasoi lamaher lefarko masao. Now, when you kill two birds with one stone, why do you do that? You're trying to get rid of it. It looks like your mitzvos are something that you want to get out of. And that's inappropriate. Sort of like tefilas keva. Tosfos in Mord Katan, Daf Chasma Beis, gives a different reason for ein osin and mitzvos chavilos chavilos. He's talking about the sugya over there of Ein Marvim Simcha B'Simcha, and he says that these two concepts are related. The Kamosha Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos De Ba'inan Shehei Libo Panoi LaMitzvah Achas Lo Yifane Atzmo Heimena L'Chein Simcha B'Simcha Yeh Libo Panoi b'simcha. You need to focus on the mitzvah you're doing. In other words, according to Rashi, chavila is like a package. In other words, like a heavy package you're carrying that you're just trying to get rid of. You know, as soon as you don't have to hold it anymore, you grab it. According to Tosafot, the idea of a chavila is like, it's like a bundle of different things mixed together, like a bag holding this, that, and the other thing. Now, it's interesting. It's not obvious. Adam showed me that somebody Achronim asked this question, that is the svara of Tosfos really relevant over here? Because you're not doing two mitzvos at the same time, right? Let's say I'm trying to make the same, I'm making a bari priyagafen. I need to make a havdalah and I need a birkmikr shemazon. So even though I'm using one cup of wine for both of them, I'm not doing the two of them together. Is there any reason to assume that I won't be able to focus on havdalah if I also make birkas hamazon right afterwards while holding the same cup of wine? That doesn't seem to be so obvious why that would be true, right? I could do both. First I make havdalah, then I make birkas hamazon. What's the big deal? Where's the concern that you won't have libu panui l'mitzvah achas? So it could be that the answer to that question is in Achanami. Tosfos would agree in our sugya that the reason has nothing to do with that reason. Tosfos would agree that it's because Nera love Kamasu. In fact, there are actually three places in Shas where we have this myth, this concept of Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. One is in Sota, Daf Ches Mem Aleph, about Ein Mashkin Shtei Sotos Keachas, and Ein Mitarin Mitzoran Keachas, Ein Rots in Shtei Avadim Keachas, Ein Ofrim Shtei Agalos Keachas. In other words, do them separately, not at the same time. There's a Shaila that comes up. What about when you have Bris Mila on twins? Is it a problem to do one right after the other? That's why we try to be masik between them. We have a speech or something. The second is a sugim brachos, dafnan tasim ralef, en chosmin b'shtayim. Right? So you can't make one chasima that's kolal two things. And the third is our gemar m'sachim about birkas hamazon and kiddush b'kos echad. So it could be that Tosus agrees, and I think I saw some achronim maybe that say this, Tosus agrees that there, in our case, and also I guess the case of brachos, there are really two dinim. One is the sugya of psachim, sugya and brachos, which is not an issue of focus or concentration. It's an issue of nera lav kemasui. And Tosus is saying, but the other halach over there, shtei sotos kachas, or shtei mitzorayim kachas, that doesn't sound like it's shaykh ar svara. Why? Because our svara is only true when the two things have nothing to do with each other. And the raya is the end of the Gemara. Our Gemara says, well, if we have this principle of Enos and Chavilos Chavilos, so why is it mutter to do Yaknahaz? There you're being with Starif, Kiddush and Abdallah in the same rach. The Gemara says, that's no problem. Kiddush v'Abdallah chadamilsa. So now, since Kiddush and Abdallah are conceptually linked, they're both about Kedusha Soyom, different interpretations in our Gemara, but either way, they're conceptually linked. So we're saying there's no issue of chavilos chavilos when they're conceptually linked. So certainly there's not going to be an issue of chavilos chavilos when they're the same thing, right? When it's two sotos. So therefore, Joseph says, I'll tell you what, because it's because there's two dinim in chavilos chavilos. One is niralav kemasa, masui. That's our Gemara. And that's only relevant when the two things are unrelated to each other. And then there's another halacha of not being able to focus. And that's true even if they're identical things. And the svara over there isn't shaykh over here. The svara over here isn't shaykh over there. So that's the pshat maybe in Tosfos. One last ha'ara on this topic is from the Shita of the Rambam, which is quite interesting. Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush, Parak Chaf Tes, Halacha Yud Beis, writes like this.
Haya ochal b'Shabbos v'yatzah Shabbos v'hu b'tov sudaso gomer sudaso v'no tel yadav v'mavarech birkas hamazon al hakos v'achar kach ma'adir l'alav. So if you're eating your suda, it's okay to make birkas hamazon and havdalah on the same kos. Now, the problem with this is that this is explicitly against our Gemara. Our Gemara acknowledges that there's a Mishnah Brachos that says you do that, but the Gemara makes a new Kemta, that's sung by Ein Lo. You have no other option. Therefore, if you only have one cup of wine, you have no choice, so you'll be forced to say, you'll be forced to have to kill two birds with one stone, say two mitzvos on one kos, but Yesh Lo, then, Chavilos, you should make one kos for Havdalah, one kos for Riksamazim. But the Rambam doesn't say that. And the Ravid more or less notes that. He says that's a problem. That's when you only have one cup, but not if you have enough. In Al-Khayyid Gimel, the Rambam says, though, that's not the case for Kiddush. It's not the case for Kiddush. If a person was finishing they're having an Erev Shabbos meal, okay, maybe they shouldn't, but they are. And they're done. Now it's time to make Kiddush. So if they want to continue their meal, then they can be Paras Mabu Makadosh. But let's say they're done their meal. So then what do? Now you have to make Kiddush and Birkas Hamazon. So you shouldn't use one cup, says the Rambam. V'lo yivarech v'yikadish al kos yachad, she'en osin shtei mitzvos b'kos yachad, she'mitzvas Kiddush u'mitzvos Birkas Hamazon, shtei mitzvos shal Torah heim. It's interesting. Here he doesn't use the Lashon of Chavilos Chavilos. In Hilchos Sota, and in Hilchos Agla Rufa, and all those places he does. Maybe it's a little bit a smach like Tosfos. It's a different din. Anyway, not sure. One way or the other. The point is that, what is the Rambam saying? You can't do Kiddush and Birkas Hamazon on one cup, but you can do Havdalah and Birkas Hamazon on one cup. So we only have two questions. Question number one is, the Rambam is against the Gemara? Because the Gemara says that you can't do Havdalah and Birkas Hamazon on the same cup. And question number two in the Rambam is, what's the svar to be mechalek between Kiddush and Havdalah? So let's talk about the first question. The Rambam's against our Gemara. So probably the answer to this is that the Rambam is passing like the Sugin Brachos. That's the easiest answer. The Gemara Brachos has this. There's a Mishnah Brachos that says that you are allowed to make Birkas Hamazon and Havdalah on the same kos. And though it is true that our Gemara makes an Ukimta, that's talking about Ein Lo, but that's a Shver Ukimta. It's not mentioned in the Sugin Brachos anywhere. And therefore, the Rambam thought we should paskin like the Pashtas of the Mishnah and the Sugi B'Mekomo. And therefore, the Rambam holds against our Gemara. So maybe it's about Steven Sugyos. Maybe it's an example of the Rambam paskin like Pashtas HaMishnah, like we've talked about on many occasions. And therefore, the Rambam held that you do make Kiddush and Havdalah on one cup. What about the second question? Why is Kiddush different? So the Meiri says, look at the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam himself answered this question. When the Rambam says, well, we don't do Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon in the same cup, he said, Shemitzvas Kiddush u'mitzvas Birkas HaMazon shtei mitzvos shel Torahein. These are both mitzvos de oraisa. So the Meiri suggests that the Rambam held that when you have two mitzvos de oraisa, then we say enos and mitzvos chavilos chavilos. So Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon are both deraisa. That's when we say enos and mitzvos chavilos chavilos. But Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon, that's one mitzvah deraisa, namely Birkas HaMazon, one mitzvah derabanan, namely Havdalah, and therefore there's no problem of chavilos chavilos. So it's a great shot in the Rambam. You definitely could see that in words. But the problem is it goes against the Rambam. Because the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Chaf Tes says that Havdalah is also deraisa, seemingly just as much as Kiddush. Mitzvah saseh minat Torah l'kadeh shesiyom ha-shabbos b'dvarim, shenemar zochsim ha-shabbos kachoy, kolomar zachrei zochim ha-shabbos v'kiddush, shevach v'kiddush, or shabbos v'kiddush, v'tzach l'zachreihu b'knisaso u'v'yitziyaso, b'knisaso v'kiddushayom u'v'yitziyaso v'avdalah. They're both equally deraisa. You can't really say that pshat. So the Magen Mishnah says, so I'll tell you what's the pshat. Must be that thematically, Kiddush and Havdalah are, sorry, Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon are opposites, whereas Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon are similar. How so? Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon are both about a past event. Havdalah is really about the Shabbos that's passed. Birkas HaMazon is about the meal that I've completed. Whereas Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon are opposites. Kiddush is about the future. It's about the Shabbos that's coming. And Birkas HaMazon is about the meal that was in the past. That's what he suggests. Now, if you say that pshat, then l'chora, you don't have to say what we said before, that the Rambam paskin against our sugyan psachim. Rather, we could say, no, the Rambam did paskin like the sugyan psachim, and that's the maskana of the Gemara. Because remember, what did the Gemara psachim say l'maskana? The Gemara psachim said, why is it that you could say Kiddush and Havdalah on one cup? Why isn't that chavilos chavilos? Because they're chad milsa. They're thematically connected. They both relate to Kedushas Hayom. So what the Rambam is saying is, oh, l'maskana, you don't have to make the ukimta anymore of kishayim lo, that Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon could only be said in one cup when you only have one cup. No. Once we're mechadish in the maskana that there's no chisaron of Kiddush and of chavilos chavilos when the two things are related, so memela, we could say kipshuto that Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah are related. Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah are related in a way that's very different than Kiddush and Havdalah are related. Kiddush and Havdalah are related because they both relate to Kedushas Yom. Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon are related because they both describe or relate to a past event. But either way, says the Magid Mishnah, they're related in different ways, and therefore Chavilos, Chavilos is irrelevant. As opposed to Kiddush and Birkas HaMazon, in no way could those be seen as relating. Therefore, there's a problem of Chavilos, Chavilos, and Memela, you need to do it on two cups. Okay. So maybe we'll stop here for today. And Bezvus Hashem, next time we will talk about Yaknahaz, the next sugya. And Hashad Haslachi, then we are going to talk about Havdalah more generally. Once the Gemara brings in the issue of Havdalah, so we'll talk about Havdalah. What we introduced today is a Deraisa Derabanan, the connection between Havdalah and Melacha. Because after all, this is a shir, not an Aviv Tachim, but in Mitzvah Sasev Shabbos. So you might not have noticed that yet. So therefore, this will give us an opportunity now to turn to the sugyos of Havdalah. So Bezras Hashem, we'll pick up, probably Thursday isn't a good time to have a shir. So I guess probably...
Rebbe didn't switch to Monday and Wednesday or Thursday?
What?
Rebbe switched shir to only Mondays and Wednesdays? Or is it
Monday and Wednesday? Oh, good. So then we will have shir Monday and Wednesday. Good, I forgot what I said. Good.
Much better so Wednesday after Chatzis?
I hear. Well, when's Rav Tursky giving shir Wednesday?
I imagine 11:45 to 12:45, but I'm not.